Hare Krishna. So we are very, very fortunate to be continuing our series on Gaur Katha. Welcome to Bhakti Sangha Japa Conference. And today's session will be given by Her Grace Kalasudha Mataji. And today we continue with Gaur Katha seminar. Mataji, you can now take over. Thank you so much, Mataji.
Thank you very much for this opportunity. Hare Krishna. Jaya Jaya Shri Chaitanya Jaya Nityananda Jaya Advaita Chandra Jaya Gaura Bhakta Vrinda Om Jnanati Mirandhasya Jnananjana Shalakaya Chakshurun Militam Yena Tasmai Shri Gurave Namaha Nama Om Vishnu Pradaya Krishna Prishthaya Bhutale Srimate Radhanath Swami Niti Namine Nama Om Vishnu Pradaya Krishna Prashthaya Bhutale Srimate Jayapataka Swami Niti Namine Nama Acharya Padaya Nitai Kripa Padayini Gaura Katha Dhamadaya Nagara Gramatarine Nama Vishnu Padaya Krishna Prashthaya Bhutale Srimate Bhakti Vedanta Swami Niti Namine Namaste Saraswati Deve Gauravani Pracharine Nirvishesha Shunyavadi Paschakya Deshakarine Jai Shri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Shri Advaita Gadadhar Srivasati Gaura Bhakta Vrinda Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Ram Hare Ram 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 Hare 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 Krishna, we welcome you to Gaura Katha Day 4. So today we will start where we left off yesterday. It is with the manifestation of Sri Gauranga Mahaprabhu's ecstatic leelas, ecstatic pastimes, that how Mahaprabhu was displaying such amazing, such beautiful, ecstatic symptoms of pure love of God, and how he was doing the nocturnal kirtans every night at the home of Srivast Thakur, where miraculous events were happening at that time. You know, how Srivast Thakur's son one night left his body, but because Srivast did not want that Mahaprabhu's nocturnal kirtan get disturbed, Srivast did not even disclose, and he was, you know, telling the ladies of the house that, shh, keep quiet, don't cry, because Mahaprabhu is here, and I don't want that Mahaprabhu's kirtan should get disturbed. But Mahaprabhu immediately understood that there is something wrong. He could feel the pain in the heart of Malini Devi, the wife, the glorious wife of Srivast Thakur. And Mahaprabhu immediately brought the dead son of Srivast Thakur back to life. So like these miraculous events were happening in Navadvip Dham. And Sri Gauranga Mahaprabhu, the ecstasy that he was feeling was increasing day by day, moment by moment. The ecstasy of Sri Gauranga Mahaprabhu was increasing. One day it increased to such an extent that Gauranga Mahaprabhu was just crying. He was howling and crying that, where is Krishna? Why am I not able to see Krishna? And Sachi Mata was losing her composure that, how can I pacify my son? Look at the way my son is disturbed. He's crying and wailing. So she did not know what else to do, but she just called the dearest friend of Sri Gauranga Mahaprabhu, and that was Gadadhar Pandit. She called Gadadhar Pandit and said, look what is happening to your friend. Please console him. Please do something about it. And Gadadhar Prabhu came, and he saw the way Lord Chaitanya was lifelessly lying down in the altar room of the home of Sachi Mata. And he was just crying and wailing that, where is Krishna? Where is Krishna? And at that moment, Gadadhar Prabhu picked up Mahaprabhu and said, my dear Gauranga Mahaprabhu, Krishna is in your heart. He is in your heart. Why are you looking for him outside? He is in your heart. And as soon as these words came out of the, you know, lotus mouth of Gadadhar, at that very moment, Lord Chaitanya took his nails and he started ripping apart his chest. Where is Krishna in my heart? Where is Krishna? Can I see him? I want to see him. And Gaurav immediately caught hold of the lotus hands of Mahaprabhu and said, he will manifest. Look, here is Krishna. Here is Krishna. You can see him. And he showed the beautiful Adhokshaja Vishnu deity of that was worshipped by Jagannath Mishra himself. And Mahaprabhu was immediately pacified, seeing the beautiful form of this very, very small deity, black stone deity of Adhokshaja Vishnu. Mahaprabhu was immediately pacified. And that's why Sati Mata always wanted that Gadadhar should always be around Gauranga Mahaprabhu. Because she knew that he is the only one person that can pacify Lord Chaitanya. It's a you know, very different analogy. But in Krishna Leela, Krishna made such arrangements in Krishna Leela that everyone would try to separate Radha and Krishna. Like Jatila Kutila and all the Brajavasis. They would make sure that, you know, Krishna and Radharani don't meet, in the sense that they would create a lot of obstacles for Radha and Krishna to have their union. There would be so many obstacles all the time. So Srimati Radharani was very sad. So in order to satisfy her sadness, in Gaura Leela, Sriman Mahaprabhu arranged in such a way, Krishna arranged in such a way that all the Vaishnavas would make sure that Gadadhar is constant companion of Sri Gauranga Mahaprabhu. That is the beauty of Krishna's transcendental pastimes. When Krishna Leela, Radharani and Krishna were tried to, you know, be distant from each other, and their love for each other grew in the distance. But in Gaura Leela, they were always together. Of course, in the form of Gauranga Mahaprabhu himself, they were always together. But even externally, as Gadadhar Pandit, Gadadhar and Gauranga were always together. Always together. And Sati Mata made sure that Gadadhar was always with Gauranga Mahaprabhu. We all know that how, when Mahaprabhu was doing the Mahaprakash Leela, how he called one devotee after the other, and he revealed to them who they were in their Nitya Leelas. How he revealed to Murari Gupta that he is none other than Hanuman. Suddenly Lord Chaitanya manifested his form as Lord Ramachandra, and Murari Gupta looked behind his back and he saw that he had a tail like Hanuman. He was so happy to see his eternal Lord, Lord Ramachandra, in the asana, sitting in the place of Gauranga Mahaprabhu. So like this, Lord Chaitanya was calling every devotee and revealing to them what their original Swarupa is. And giving them all pure love of Krishna. He was freely giving out Krishna Prema. Like we said in the beginning, that Mahaprabhu had come with a garland. What is that garland? The flowers in that garland is flowers that are Krishna Prema, the flowers of Krishna Prema. And they were strung on the thread of Harinam. So with this garland, Mahaprabhu was garlanding everybody that just chant Hare Krishna and you will get Krishna Prema. You will be awarded Krishna Prema without seeing any qualification, without seeing whether anyone desires or deserves. Mahaprabhu was freely distributing Krishna Prema. And during this very pastime of Mahaprabhu showing his, you know, opulence and his Mahaprakash Leela, at this time when Sati Mata came, Mahaprabhu refused to give her Krishna Prema. Everyone was stunned that why Mahaprabhu is refusing his own mother Krishna Prema. Sati Mata is the embodiment of loving compassion. She is, you know, it is said that she, you know, when anyone is very compassionate, Srila Prabhupada always used the phrase that they have the heart of a Bengali mother. heart of a Bengali mother means that they just are so loving, so caring, so giving. You know, the word take doesn't exist in their dictionary. They're just so giving. They're so loving unconditionally. And Sachi Mata was the personification of such love, such care, such genuine compassion for everybody. And without any selfish desire, without any selfish motivation, she was so selfless. And when Mahaprabhu denied her Krishna prema, everybody was stunned. But why, Gauranga Mahaprabhu, why are you doing this injustice to your own mother? And Mahaprabhu became very grave. And he said that this is because of the offense that Sachi Mata has committed to a great Vaishnava. And unless she begs forgiveness from that Vaishnava, I cannot give her Krishna prema. And Sachi Mata immediately understood that she would actually not directly, never directly, never to the face of Advaita Acharya, but she would say about Advaita Acharya that, oh, because of that Advaita Acharya, my son Vishwaroop is always sitting in his house. This was offensive. Mahaprabhu took offense, although Advaita Acharya never even knew that Sachi Mata has this feeling towards him, that Krishna took offense. You see, whenever we commit a Vaishnava aparadha, there are two aspects to it. One is that we offend the devotee, we offend that particular Vaishnava, and the other aspect is that we offend Krishna. Because devotees are so dear to Krishna, Krishna takes personal offense when we hurt another devotee. So when we beg forgiveness from a devotee, it just doesn't end there. We have to also beg forgiveness from Krishna, that Krishna forgives us for that offense committed to that devotee. And how do we beg forgiveness from Krishna? By serving that particular devotee. By rendering service to that devotee, by pleasing that devotee, when that devotee becomes happy with our services, then Krishna forgives us. That is the beauty, and that is how much Krishna loves his devotees. So although in this case, Advaita Acharya Prabhu never even took offense to, you know, he didn't even know that Sachi Mata had these kind of thoughts. But Krishna had taken offense. And that's why Mahaprabhu refused to give her Krishna prema. Such a serious matter. And Mahaprabhu displayed this leela to stress on this subject, that how important it is for us to pay attention to Vaishnava aparadha. We should take it very seriously. And Mahaprabhu immediately, you know, when he said, no, Sachi Mata, you know, forgetting her own position, she said, I have to please my son. She came and begged forgiveness from Advaita Acharya. And Advaita Acharya was, no, Mata, you are mother to me. You are the mother of the universe. How can you think that you've committed offense to me? It can never be possible. I've never taken any offense, Mata. Never, never, ever taken any offense. I didn't even know. But Sachi Mata, somehow or the other, when Advaita Acharya was offering his obeisances, she took the dust of his lotus feet and put on her head. And then she also made very nice sweet rice offering, because she knew that Advaita Acharya loves the sweet rice preparation that she makes. So Sachi Mata, with her own genuine, loving, compassionate hands, she made sweet rice. She offered it to her deity very lovingly. And she came and gave that Mahaprasad to Advaita Acharya. And he was filled, you know, having that nectarian sweet rice. He was filled with so much bliss, so much ecstasy, that he fell at the lotus feet of Sachi Mata and said, thank you, Mata, for making such a special offering to me. The sweet rice is the fulfillment of all my desires. Thank you. And seeing that Advaita Acharya was happy with Sachi Mata, that Sachi Mata had made this attempt, Advaita Acharya was anyways happy with Sachi Mata. But this particular step that Sachi Mata took in order to specially satisfy Advaita Acharya so that Krishna would be pleased also, that was when Mahaprabhu forgave Sachi Mata and blessed her with Krishna prema. So we should be very, very mindful how we are treating devotees. We should always remember it with great care, with great affection, with great attention we must treat every devotee. Because if we don't do that, then it is said that when we speak anything untoward about another Vaishnava, it's like taking a bow and arrow and releasing that arrow, and the arrow hits the heart of Krishna. It penetrates the heart of Krishna. It hurts him so much. So we should be very careful that we don't give this kind of inconvenience to Krishna. We should be very, very careful. And therefore, instead of being careful that, oh, I should not commit Vaishnava virat, oh, I should not be doing this, oh, I should not be doing this, rather we should focus on what we should be doing. Let us glorify the Vaishnava. When we glorify devotees, then there's automatically no room for criticizing devotees. So let us glorify the devotees, and that way we will become free of this offense, very serious offense of Vaishnava aparadha. You know, Lord Chaitanya would forgive. He would give, you know, even the most fallen of miscreants, he would give them Krishna prema. But if anyone is guilty of aparad, of Vaishnava aparad, he would never give them Krishna prema. So we should understand that even if we are, you know, committing the most heinous of all sinful actions, we still have hope. But if we commit Vaishnava aparad, we've got no hope. It's hopeless condition. So we must take this very seriously and try to always try to glorify the devotees. Never ever be in the mentality that, you know, I want to criticize someone, I want to backbite somebody. Never be in that mentality. Always be in the mood that let us glorify Vaishnava, because that is what is pleasing to Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, and that is how we can become dear to Sri Gauranga Mahaprabhu and the rightful recipient to receive Krishna prema, to receive Gauranga prema. That is how we can do that. So Mahaprabhu displayed all of these beautiful pastimes, and he was drowning the inhabitants of Nadia in pools of ecstasy. Everyone was so happy. Everyone was so blissful. You know, such amazing pastimes were happening every single day in the city of, you know, Nadia. We all know how Mahaprabhu delivered Jagayan Madhai, the two great miscreants. When Mahaprabhu delivered Jagayan Madhai, the way he did that was that one day he actually called Haridas and Advaita Acharya and Nityananda, and he said, wherever you go in the city of Navadvip, go to every door, you know, knock on everyone's door and tell them, Bolo Krishna, Bhaja Krishna, Kaha Krishna Shikha, Karo Krishna Shikha, that just chant the holy name. Beg everyone, whoever you see, just beg everyone to chant the holy names of Krishna. So Nitai and Advaita Acharya, they would be teamed up. And sometimes Haridas would also go, because Haridas was Nama Acharya, but, you know, he had his normal japa to do. But, you know, to follow the instructions of Mahaprabhu, he would also some days go along with these two transcendental personalities. So Nityananda is Avadhut Mahashay. You know, he is, you know, everyone would call him crazy, especially Advaita Acharya would call him crazy, that you're a crazy man. You can do anything. And, you know, the way Lord Nityananda would take bath in the Ganges was very special. He would just dive into the Ganges, and he would come out, and when he would come out, he would be seated on a crocodile. He would come out seated on a crocodile, and in order to propel himself, he would take two other crocodiles on two of his hands, And he would use them as oars, and he would say, Gauranga, 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 and he would keep going down the Ganges. This was how crazy Nityananda was. So Nityananda Prabhu, his pastimes, if I start speaking about Nityananda Prabhu, he cannot finish Gaur Katha in 7 days. It will be impossible. So just wanted to share this one special Leela about Nitai. But every day, Nityananda and Advaita Acharya, they would go. And Nityananda, one day, he went and approached these two miscreants, Jagai and Madai, and we know what happened. They started chasing Nityananda and Advaita Acharya because they hated Vaishnava. They hated anybody who would chant Hare Krishna. But they were not guilty of Vaishnava apradh. They would just, you know, badmouth the Vaishnavas. They would just say, oh, these are horrible, everybody is horrible. You know, they would not really commit Vaishnava apradh. But they were committing all kinds of sinful activities. And they would not like to hear any name of Krishna from wherever it is coming. So Nityananda and Advaita Acharya went to give them Krishna, the names of Krishna, and both of them chased them away. And then the next day, Nityananda said to Advaita that we'll go there again, let's go. You know, those two brothers, they chased us, we'll go to them again, let's go. And Advaita Acharya said, my dear brother, Nitai, I'm very old man. I cannot run like you. So please, you go. I'm not coming with you today. You're very dangerous to be around. I'm not coming with you. Take Haridas and go. So the next day, Nitai took Haridas, and both of them went, and Nitai found where Jagai and Madhai is, and he went straight to them. He said, my dear brothers, please chant Hare Krishna. And this day, Jagai and Madhai were severely drunk. And Madhai, out of his foolishness, out of his ignorance, he just took that, you know, from where he was drinking his alcohol, the clay pot, he just broke that clay pot, and with that broken clay pot, he just struck the head of Nityananda. And blood was just oozing out from the transcendental forehead of Lord Nityananda. And he said, Krishna, Krishna, and he just sat down. Haridas saw this, and he just ran from the spot, and he said, Mahaprabhu, come and see what is happening. Immediately, Mahaprabhu appeared. On that spot, he immediately appeared with his Sudarshan. Lord Chaitanya invoked his Sudarshan chakra. He just called out, Sudarshan, come! And Sudarshan appeared, and he was about to let go of Sudarshan to sever the head of Madhai for this heinous crime that he had done of hurting Lord Nityananda. It was a sin that he did. It was not aparad, it was a sin that he had committed. So Mahaprabhu wanted to just kill him, just sever his head. And Nityananda Prabhu came and caught the lotus feet of Mahaprabhu and said, Mahaprabhu, please do not do this. And Nitai reminded him that what is the purpose of your appearance, Mahaprabhu, this time? You have not come to kill the demons. If you have come to kill the demons, then you have to kill everybody in Kali. Everybody is demoniac. But you have come here to kill the demoniac propensity in everybody. So kill their demoniac nature. Don't kill them, Mahaprabhu. Then you are acting against your avatar. You are Parama Karuna. You are the greatest, supreme, most compassionate person. So please don't go against your principles. Forgive my time. And immediately forgive Jagai, but I will not forgive Madhai. You know, for the heinous crime that he has done, I will not forgive. So then Mahaprabhu, you know, he was so angry. And seeing all of this, you know, happening in front of their eyes, Jagai and Madhai, their drunken behavior was all evaporated. Their intoxication was evaporated. They were normal. And they were stunned that
What is this personality, Nityananda? Who is this personality, Nityananda? And Jagai told Madhai that, Madhai, you and look at his mercy, he still wants to save you. What mercy is Nityananda? How can someone be so merciful? How can someone be so compassionate that you have done so much to him, but still he is only giving you love and nothing else? So Madhai came back to his senses and he came and begged forgiveness from Nityananda. He fell like a stick in front of Lord Nityananda, and Lord Nityananda just picked him up and embraced Nityananda. He just embraced Madhai. When Mahaprabhu saw this, that Nityananda has forgiven Madhai, and Madhai is feeling so bad, so guilty for whatever he has done, Mahaprabhu smiled compassionately. And Nityananda brought both of these, Jagai and Madhai, he brought them in front of Mahaprabhu and said, please accept them, Mahaprabhu, bless them with Krishna prema. And Nityananda Prabhu gave Tulasi leaf in the hands of Jagai and Madhai and said that you offer, both of you offer this Tulasi leaf at the lotus feet of Mahaprabhu and promise him that from this moment onwards you are going to give up your sinful way of life and you are going to stop chanting Hare Krishna and that you will take up to spirituality. And both the boys, it was a promise that they were doing on the instructions of the Adi Guru, Sri Nityananda Ram, receiving Tulasi from Nityananda Ram's lotus hands. You know, both these brothers, they offered that Tulasi leaf at the lotus feet of Gauranga Mahaprabhu. It is said that as soon as the Tulasi leaf touched the lotus feet of Gauranga Mahaprabhu, Lord Gauranga Mahaprabhu's Baura Varna, his golden complexion, for one moment became black. For a moment, Gauranga Mahaprabhu turned pitch black, because Mahaprabhu, through that Tulasi, he absorbed all the sins of Jagai and Madhai. He completely took it. And at that very moment, in the hellish planet, Chitragupta fainted. When he fainted, Yamaraj saw, hey Chitragupta, you can't faint even for a moment. Who is going to keep calm? Get up, wake you up. And Chitragupta woke up and he said, yes, yes, my lord, what happened? Yamaraj said, what happened to you? Why did you faint? He said, my dear lord, I was just writing the accounts of Jagai and Madhai and suddenly the pages went blank. Everything is gone. What happened? And then Yamaraj said, Jagai and Madhai, for whom we were making separate hellish planets, we were constructing a separate hell for them to make them suffer in that planet. That construction was on their way. And now it's all gone. What happened to all their reactions? Chitragupta said, it's all gone. My lord, it's all gone. And Yamaraj also fainted right there. That what will happen, my construction is half installed. All this Lakshmi I'm spending to make this new hell for Jagai and Madhai to welcome them. And everything gone. My project is gone. So Yamaraj just fainted. What is happening? What will happen to my business? At any moment, Lord Shiva, who is a very dear friend of Yamaraj, appeared. And he whispered in Yamaraj's ears the transcendental names of Gauranga. He said, Gaura Hari, Gaura Hari, Gaura Hari. And Yamaraj immediately came back to his external senses and said, what happened actually, Mahadev? Shiva Shambhu, please tell me what happened. And Lord Shiva then explained, gave him a live telecast of what actually happened. That how Mahaprabhu absorbed everything, since the sinful reaction of Jagai and Madhai, Mahaprabhu took it. Yes. feet. And right there in Yamaloka, Chaitanya, all of them started chanting, Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. And they were in ecstasy. They're saying, how much mercy is Gauranga Mahaprabhu giving? Who will accept help?
Hare Krishna Mataji, sorry to disturb. Your voice is breaking again. Not able to hear.
Oh, Krishna. Okay. So, Mahaprabhu, you know how much mercy he is giving, that it is so impossible to comprehend, that how much mercy is Mahaprabhu giving out? And it is, but actually by the mercy of Lord Nityananda that this is happening. It is Nitai's Kripa that is coming through Gauranga Mahaprabhu. So in this way, Mahaprabhu was just drowning the inhabitants of Nath. And it is said that when Madhai was delivered and he was, you know, given Krishna prem by Lord Chaitanya, Madhai was actually feeling, you know, he started chanting and he started becoming a very, very ardent follower of Lord Chaitanya. But he used to feel very, very guilty. He used to feel so guilty for all the sinful activities that he has done in the past. One day he came to his guru, Nityananda Prabhu, and he revealed his mind to Lord Nityananda, that, my dear Lord, I am so unhappy. I am so feeling bad that I have done so much nonsense in this life. How can I get delivered? How can I atone for all the things that I have done? So Lord Nityananda said to Madhai, that, my dear Madhai, you have troubled the people of Nadia a lot. You know, you have, you know, plundered them, you have looted them, you have, you know, done, you have even committed atrocious activities towards the women of Nadia. You have done all of this. But the way you can do prayaschitta, you can do repentance for what you have done, is that build a very nice ghat, a bathing ghat, for all the residents of Navadvip, so that they can go down that bathing ghat and they can take bath in the Ganges, and they will bless you for making such beautiful arrangements for them. So Madhai was very happy. So with his own hands, he actually took a plow and everything, and he actually made, he constructed a very beautiful bathing ghat. And whoever would come to that bathing ghat, Madhai would sit there all day till sunset. Every day, Madhai would sit there and he would wash the lotus feet of the Vaishnavas who would come to bathe in the Ganges. And he would offer them, you know, agarbattis and flowers to worship Mother Ganga. This was the seva that Madhai did as a prayaschitta to all the inhabitants of Nadia. And that ghat, till today, is famous as Madhai ghat. Such a beautiful way that Lord Nityananda showed him the way that he can serve the devotees and please them. So in this way, Lord Chaitanya was continuing his beautiful, you know, Nam Sankirtan Leela. One day, what happened is, Mahaprabhu, in his ecstasy, because he was in the mood of Srimati Radharani, Mahaprabhu in his ecstasy, he was actually remembering
his most confidential servitors, who are the Ashtasakhis. So Mahaprabhu was remembering in the mood of Mahabhas Gurupini, Srimati Radha Thakurani, Mahaprabhu was remembering the Ashtasakhi. And he was chanting Lalita, Vishakha, Indulekha, Rangadevi, Sudevi, Suchitra, Champakalata, like this, he was taking all of their names. And some of the men who were passing by, they saw Mahaprabhu in this ecstasy and they mistook him. And they said that, oh, he's taking the names of some girls. What is this? How can he take the names of some girls like this? They could not understand Lord Chaitanya's Mahabhav. And they committed this aparad towards Lord Chaitanya. And as soon as they committed this aparad towards Lord Chaitanya, Krishna Prem became blocked from them. And Lord Chaitanya realized that if I need to deliver every person in this Kali Yuga, I have to take on a form that people will be automatically bound to respect. At least they will not take me as being an ordinary person. So that was the moment that Lord Chaitanya decided to accept sannyas. Because in those days, even in today's day and age, a sannyasi is revered in society. You know, there's automatic respect that, you know, comes when we see a sannyasi. So Lord Chaitanya thought, for the benefit of these people in general, I have to take on this role of being in a sannyasi form. Then at least they will not criticize me. Because if they criticize me, then their hope for, you know, becoming liberated is gone. Their hope for getting Krishna prem is gone. So in order for the benefit of mankind, that was the moment that Lord Chaitanya decided to accept sannyas. He did not reveal it to anybody. It is explained that Lord Chaitanya actually did not reveal this to anybody, but he revealed it to Gadadhar and to Lord Nityananda. Just these two personalities, Mahaprabhu revealed that he's considering to take sannyas. And it is explained by Srila Lochandas Thakur very beautifully. It's a very heartfelt conversation that Lochandas Thakur has recorded in Chaitanya Mangala. The conversation between Vishnu Priya Devi and Mahaprabhu. Vishnu Priya Devi, she understood. Although Gauranga Sundar, he did not reveal to Vishnu Priya that he was taking sannyas. He was about to take sannyas, or he was going to leave home to take sannyas. But Vishnu Priya Devi understood, seeing the attributes of her husband. Because it is only the wife that knows the husband completely. Even the mother or the father cannot know the husband completely as much as the wife knows the husband. So Vishnu Priya Devi, seeing the mood of Mahaprabhu, could immediately guess that he is going to leave home very soon. And one night, in a voice choked with loving emotion, Vishnu Priya Devi spoke to Gauranga Sundara. She said that, "My dear Prananath, O my Lord, O Lord of my life, is it true that you are going to take sannyas and you will leave me? Is it true? Because if I lose your association, it will be worse than death for me, my Lord. It's better for me to, you know, drink poison and give up my life, because I cannot stay even a moment without you." And in great compassion, with a loving voice, Sri Gaura Rai said to Vishnu Priya Devi, "Then, my dear Vishnu Priya, you are very dear to me as my life itself. You are my life. But you see, I don't want you to be worried. I will tell you something which will really help you. That the only truth in this world is Krishna, the Supreme Personality of Godhead, and his dear devotee. That is the only truth in this world. Everything else is an illusion. You know, the relationship between father and mother, the relationship between mother and child, the relationship between husband and wife, it is all an illusion. Krishna is the master. He is the real husband of everyone. And your name is Vishnu Priya. You are the beloved of Vishnu. So therefore, it is time that you start living to what your name says. You start fulfilling the real meaning of your name. You are Vishnu Priya, and Krishna is there in your heart." And at that very moment, Sri Gaura Rai manifested his form as Lord Narayan. He showed Vishnu Priya Devi his four-handed form as Lord Narayan. And Vishnu Priya immediately understood that, yes, she knew very well that her husband is the Supreme Personality of Godhead. But this made her, you know, realize and see with her own eyes that my husband is indeed Lord Narayan himself. And seeing this form of Lord, the grief, the pain in her heart was subsided, and she felt very blissful, because she knew that although externally if Lord Chaitanya goes away from her, that he will always continue to be in her heart. That was the faith that she had. So this vision that Mahaprabhu gave her and the words that Mahaprabhu gave her is what sustained Vishnu Priya Devi. And that very night, it is said that Mahaprabhu left home. He just left home for taking sannyas. It is said that the last dinner that Lord Chaitanya had, you know, Lord Chaitanya would love one very special preparation that Sachi Mata would make, which is called Lauer Paish. Lauer Paish means Loki, you know, we all know what Loki is, and sweet rice made out of this Loki. Very, very special, exceptional item, which is very, very dear to Lord Chaitanya. Very simple recipe. Lord Chaitanya would actually, in Sachi Mata's garden, in her kitchen garden, there were a lot of, you know, these Lokis that would grow. And she would bring those, you know, fresh, tender Loki. She would peel it. She would grate it up. She would put ghee in her pan, and then she would put this grated Loki along with some bay leaf and, you know, cardamom, and she would fry this Loki for a little while, and then she would pour milk. And in that milk, this Loki would cook. It would cook, and it would give the aroma, so much so that it is said that even Adhokshaja Vishnu, the deity of Jagannath Mishra, would wait that when will this offering come to me? And when will I taste this nectarian, you know, cooking of Sachi Mata in the form of this Lauer Paish? Paish means in Bengali sweet rice. And, you know, Mahaprabhu loved this preparation. And she would just add sugar into it. And then, you know, finally some, you know, just powdered cardamom seeds. She would add that to extra fragrant it. And then she would offer it to her beloved deity of Adhokshaja Vishnu. And Mahaprabhu, that night, that last dinner that he had with Sachi Mata, this was the preparation that Mahaprabhu specially insisted that Sachi Mata would make, Lauer Paish. And that was the last item that Mahaprabhu had before he took sannyas. And with great you know, love Sachimata would make. And Sachimata did not have any idea that Mahaprabhu is leaving for taking sannyas. She did not have any idea. But still, she would pour her heart out whenever she would cook for Mahaprabhu. And that is why it is said that there are three places where Mahaprabhu resides eternally. Raghavar Bhavane, Srivashir Angane, and Shochiro Randhane. These are the three places that Mahaprabhu resides eternally. Sorry, there's one more, which is Nitayer Nartane. That Raghavir Bhavane means in the bhavan, in the house of Raghav Pandit, where the famous Panihati Chiradahi festival happens. That is one place where Mahaprabhu eternally stays. Srivasir Angane, in the Angan, in the courtyard of Srivas Thakur, where Mahaprabhu did beautiful Sankirtan pastimes. Shochiro Randhane, whenever Sachimata cooks, Lord Chaitanya is present there to eat whatever Sachimata cooks. And Nitayer Nartanam, and whenever Lord Nityananda dances, Lord Chaitanya manifests for the rest. So these are the four places that Mahaprabhu eternally resides in. So when Mahaprabhu left the home that night and he, you know, got down into the Ganges, it was the middle of the night. Only Vishnu Priya Devi knew that her beloved Lord is leaving Nadia. Lord Chaitanya entered the Ganges and he started swimming and he came to this village known as Katwa. In the meantime, as soon as Mahaprabhu left, Vishnu Priya Devi, of course, was heartbroken. Although Mahaprabhu had consoled her, but she was still heartbroken at the leaving of her husband. And she woke up Sachimata. The entire town of Nadia woke up. That where did the darling of Nadia, Lord Chaitanya, where did he go? They all found out that he had actually gone to take sannyas. Nityananda Prabhu and Advaita Acharya Prabhu revealed that Mahaprabhu had left to receive sannyas. So the entire town of Nadia actually went to Katwa behind Mahaprabhu. And Mahaprabhu, when he reached Katwa, he actually requested Keshava Bharati. Keshava Bharati, Krishna Chaitanya, was a Mayavadi guru. So Keshav Bharati was giving sannyas, was going to give sannyas to Mahaprabhu. And there's a very special reason why Mahaprabhu selected Keshav Bharati to give sannyas to Mahaprabhu, because in Krishna Leela, Keshav Bharati is none other than Sandipani Muni, who is the guru of Krishna. So in order to establish, you know, that special relationship with his spiritual master, with his eternal guru, Mahaprabhu wanted to give the special honor to Keshava Bharati to give him sannyas. So Mahaprabhu took his bath in the Ganges. And as we know, that the one thing that as a sannyasi needs to be done is they have to get clean shaved. And that was a heart-wrenching, it was heartbreaking, you know, to see Gauranga Mahaprabhu sit after his bath in the Ganges when he told the, you know, the barber to come and cut his hair. That barber was, his hands were shivering. He could not even hold, you know, his scissors and his razor. He could not hold it. The silken hair, the black hair of Lord Chaitanya, to be cut apart like this. You know, we all relate. You know, it is said that, you know, when we look ourselves in the mirror, we definitely find ourselves to be very beautiful. You know, we get attracted to that beauty. And if someone is more beautiful than us, then that's a source of great misery sometimes for us.
But the difference with Krishna's beauty, the difference with Gauranga Sundara's beauty, is that his beauty would win over the hearts of everybody. That everybody's heart would be helplessly attracted to the beauty of Gauranga Mahaprabhu. He was so beautiful. And everyone felt when Gauranga Mahaprabhu ordered this barber to cut his hair, everyone felt that, no, don't cut this hair because this is my hair. They were relating to Gauranga Mahaprabhu's hair as their own hair. That was the beauty of the Supreme Absolute Truth's love. The love that everyone felt for Lord Chaitanya. That is the perfection of love. That you feel that when something is happening to the beloved, that you feel that same pain that it is happening to you. So when Mahaprabhu's hair was being cut, everyone was feeling that my hair is getting cut. We cannot see this. We cannot see Gauranga Mahaprabhu lose his hair. So when he saw, Gauranga Mahaprabhu saw that everybody was just, you know, they were crying. There were, you know, separate streams of tears flowing because everyone was crying so profusely that Mahaprabhu was about to cut his hair. Mahaprabhu immediately started a very, very ecstatic kirtan. Immediately. Just so that everyone gets diverted. So Mahaprabhu started this uproarious kirtan and just everyone was in so much ecstasy, so much bliss. And suddenly Mahaprabhu sat down and he ordered that barber, cut my hair. And everybody was still swooning in ecstasy. They were seeing with their eyes that Mahaprabhu's hair is getting cut. But they were as if, you know, they were transported by Mahaprabhu himself to a different realm of ecstasy of the holy name, of relishing the holy name. That they were just crying profusely, seeing the hair being cut, but at least they were not feeling that pain was not there because their heart was filled with the ecstatic emotions of the holy name. How merciful Mahaprabhu is. That these conflicting emotions, you know, of feeling pain and of feeling ecstasy comes at the same time. We can experience it at the same time. It's amazing. And it can only happen with the Absolute Truth, in connection, in relation to the Absolute Truth. And this analogy very beautifully is given by Srila Krishnadas Kaviraj Goswami in his Chaitanya Charitamrita. Goswami says that just like if you take hot sugar candy, you know, in the villages, you know, the way they make molasses, you know, date molasses, is that they cook the date syrup. It's cooked very nicely. And then it's cooked to such an extent that it gets thick and it becomes molasses. So the molasses tastes exceptionally good when it is really hot. As soon as it is made, if you taste it, it can burn your tongue, but it is sweet at the same time. So that sweet, in order to relish the sweet taste, you'll keep burning your tongue, but you can't stop because of the sweet taste. The hot sugar candy. That is the, you know, way that Mahaprabhu's ecstatic emotions that he would give and award to his devotees. This is the analogy to understand that. That it is hot, but it is sweet at the same time. So we can't give it up. So these devotees were stunned by Lord Chaitanya's ecstatic emotions of kirtan. And they were so pained also at the same time, but they were very blissful. They were very, very blissful. Because Mahaprabhu gave them that experience of pure Krishna prema. And then this barber, he started cutting down the kesh of Gauranga Mahaprabhu. Everyone was crying to see these beautiful black silken hair just come down into the ground. And everyone
had put a cloth around Gauranga Mahaprabhu so that all his kesh would come and collect into that cloth. And that cloth was tied up and given samadhi. Till today, in the village of Katwa, when we go, we can still see this ghat where Mahaprabhu took sannyas. And Mahaprabhu's kesh samadhi, his hair samadhi, is still there. Such amazing pastime of Gauranga Mahaprabhu. So then after cutting his hair, Mahaprabhu was looking like a real moon at this time. Because all the clouds around this moon-like face of Mahaprabhu was gone. The black clouds were gone. So Mahaprabhu was literally looking like a golden moon. Amazingly beautiful. Amazingly beautiful. So Mahaprabhu, he took his bath again in the Ganges. And he came out of the Ganges. He wore on his saffron cloth. And he came and sat next to Keshav Bharati. And Mahaprabhu was in ecstasy at this moment. The moment that Mahaprabhu tied his saffron cloth around him, Mahaprabhu was feeling so much ecstasy. And the reason is explained that Krishna was remembering the promise that he had given to Srimati Radharani. When Krishna had left Vrindavan, and he had left Vrindavan to go to Mathura and Dwarka, at that time, in separation from Sri Krishna, Srimati Radharani used to dress herself. She had stopped dressing herself opulently because she used to dress only for Krishna. And now Krishna is not there, so for whom would she dress? So she would give up all the colors. And she only wore the saffron color robes, which are the emblem of separation. You know, just like some colors are there, which represent a certain feeling, a certain emotion. Like if there is a color white, it shows surrender. It shows peace, right? If you, in the war, if you, you know, just show the white color flag, means that you're ready for surrendering, you're ready for a compromise, you're ready for making peace. Green means go. If green means yes, all go, right? Red means stop, danger. Green also means, you know, flourishing, where there is lot of flourishing happening, the green revolution, so many things like that. So every color has a meaning. The saffron color has a special meaning, which means it resembles separation, the mood of viraha, the mood of vipralambha. That is what this color saffron represents. So in order to show her separation, in order to, you know, be wrapped around the separation from Krishna, from her beloved Lord, Sri Krishna, Srimati Radharani would just drape herself in saffron clothes. It's not orange, but saffron, which is very similar to orange, but very specifically saffron color. It's like the, you know, just when the sun is about to rise, you know, that kesari color that fills the sky. That is what saffron is. It's a lightish kind of an orange, very lightish kind of an orange, which has tinge of yellow, it has tinge of red. So that is saffron color. Very special, unique color. So Srimati Radharani would dress herself in these saffron robes. And Krishna understood that Srimati Radharani is dressing herself in this way. And Krishna, at that very moment, he was in Dwarka and Srimati Radharani was in Vrindavan. But Krishna, from Dwarka, he made a heart-to-heart promise to Srimati Radharani. And he said to Srimati Radharani, then, my dear Radhe, in order to reciprocate with your selfless love, I promise that I will also take on the saffron robes just for you. In order to reciprocate with your love, my dear Radhe, I will also take up these saffron robes. So that is why at this moment, when Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu was tying the saffron-colored robes around him, Mahaprabhu remembered this promise that he had given to Mahabhav Swarupini Srimati Radha Thakurani, and he was smiling in ecstasy that today I have fulfilled the promise that I had given to my Praneshwari Sri Radhe, to my Swamini Ji, the promise that I had given, I am fulfilling that today. Mahaprabhu was in ecstasy. And he came and sat down next to Keshav Bharati. And then Mahaprabhu knew the heart of Keshav Bharati. He knew that Keshav Bharati was feeling very, very bad that he is going to be the sannyas guru for Mahaprabhu. So Mahaprabhu, understanding the heart of Keshav Bharati, he told Keshav Bharati that, my dear Keshav Bharati, is this the mantra that you are going to give me? And he whispered the sannyas mantra into Keshav Bharati's ear. And hearing that mantra, Keshav Bharati's eyes became big and he was crying tears of ecstasy and he said, yes, Mahaprabhu, this is the mantra I want to give you. And he again repeated the same mantra back into Lord Chaitanya's ears. This is explained by Lochan Das Thakur that just like how we pick up the Ganges water, when we take bath in the Ganges, we pick up the Ganges water and we offer it back to the Ganges. That is the way that we worship Mother Ganges. With her own waters, we wash her lotus feet. Similarly, Keshav Bharati also did the same. He got the mantra from Mahaprabhu. So Mahaprabhu actually first initiated Keshav Bharati. Although he was a Mayavadi, but Mahaprabhu gave him the Vaishnava Sanyas mantra. And that is the mantra of Vipralambha. The Gaudiya mantra of Sanyas was given by Mahaprabhu to Keshav Bharati first. And Keshav Bharati then repeated the same mantra in the ears of Mahaprabhu. And Mahaprabhu became Shri Krishna Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. At this moment he accepted sannyas and Mahaprabhu wanted to go to Vrindavan immediately, but of course, you know, seeing the condition of Sachi Mata, the devotees headed by Advaita Acharya requested Mahaprabhu that, Mahaprabhu, you don't go so far away from home. Stay within the proximity of, you know, Navadvip Dham. Stay close by. Make your headquarters Nilachal Dham. Make Nilachal Dham your headquarters. Your preaching headquarters will be Nilachal Dham so that it's not so far away from Gauradesh. So anytime we can come and visit you, it's not so far away. So that way your mother will be satisfied. So then Mahaprabhu, immediately after he took sannyas, he offered prostrated obeisances to his mother, Sachi Mata, and he handed over the care of Sachi Mata to Ishan, who was the, you know, the ardent servitor of Mahaprabhu. You know, Ishan was the personal servant of Mahaprabhu in the home of Jagannath Mishra. He was serving Sachi Mata from a very, very long time. So he specially requested Ishan that take care of Sachi Mata. And it was implied that even Vishnu Priya Devi should be taken care of, but because the sannyasi cannot even mention his wife. And Vishnu Priya Devi and the entire town of Nadia was there to take darshan of Mahaprabhu as a sannyasi. But there was this one soul, Vishnu Priya Devi, who did not come. Because a sannyasi is not allowed to see his wife. But Vishnu Priya Devi, she was also in ecstasy. It is explained that Vishnu Priya Devi became so strong in her faith towards Krishna, in her faith towards Gauranga Mahaprabhu, that it is said that with the same neem tree under which Mahaprabhu was born, she took a nice big branch from there, and she personally, with her own hands, carved out a most beautiful form of Sri Gauranga Mahaprabhu. And she started worshipping him. And Mahaprabhu had already instructed her to chant the Hare Krishna Mahamantra. So Vishnupriya Devi, she actually would serve this deity of Mahaprabhu as her own husband. And she would serve him with so much love and care, and in front of him she would sit and chant the Hare Krishna Mahamantra. And you know what her counting beads would be? Her counting beads would be a few grains of rice. For every mala that she did, she would set aside one grain of rice. For the next mala she did, she would set aside the second grain of rice. At the end of the day, how much ever rice grains was collected, she would just boil that. She would lovingly offer that to her beloved deity of Mahaprabhu, and she would eat that. That's how she would live her life. And it is explained that she had, her body had become so fragile, the description is given, like, just like, you know, when we see the moon, when it is just, you know, just before Amavasya, that, you know, little crescent of the moon is just there. That was how fragile and thin, you know, Vishnupriya Devi's body had become in separation, in Vipralambha from Mahaprabhu. And this way, Vishnupriya Devi went on with her life, worshipping the deity of Gauranga Mahaprabhu, which till today is seen in Navadvip, in the home of Vishnupriya Devi. And that deity came to be known as Dhameshwar Mahaprabhu. Very, very beautiful deity. Such beautiful lotus eyes. And Mahaprabhu is so mercifully standing, you know, with his two arms like this, you know, like this he stands. Very beautiful deity, wooden deity, you know, neem wood deity, personally carved by Vishnupriya Devi. So today we'll end here, and from Monday, we will continue with some of the Jagannath Puri Leelas of Sri Gauranga Mahaprabhu, and so we'll continue from there, from Monday onwards. Thank you very much. Srila Prabhupada ki jai, Sri Gauranga Mahaprabhu ki jai, ISKCON Vartaman Guru Vrind ki jai. Thank you very much. Hare Krishna.
Hare Krishna, Mataji, Dhanvat Pranam. I think thank you so much for such a beautiful Victorian class, Mataji. I'm so sad that you ended with such a sad, you know, describing about the sorrow of separation. Not sorrow, I should say, but the separation pastime of Vishnupriya Devi and Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. But the way you were narrating, you know, everything was live in front of us, and, you know, really, it really brought some emotions in the heart. So, but thank you so much, Mataji. Thank you for all the efforts you are putting in and all the time you are putting in just for all of our benefit. So, very grateful to you, Mataji. Thank you so much. Hare Krishna.
Thank you.
Hare Krishna, Kalasa Mataji. I just second whatever Kirtira Sundari Mataji said. It was so beautiful, so beautiful. Mataji, I just had one comment and maybe one question. So it was very nice to know about the Kesha Samadhi. You said that's in Katwa, right? Is that correct?
Kesha Samadhi, yes.
Kesh Samadhi, yeah.
Yeah, Kesh means hair.
Hair, yeah.
Kesh Samadhi, yes.
Okay, thank you. Thank you for that. And then the other thing is, of course, when you were talking about Sandipani Muni as being Keshava Bharati. So is there any mention of Ishwarapuri's identity as well?
Yes, there is. I will let you know in a minute. I have that written down. That who is Ishwarapuri? But before I say that, there's one more very sweet thing that I wanted to mention. That this particular barber, you know, who became who cut the hair of Mahaprabhu, he actually, it is said that he was not able to, you know, cut any more hair of anybody else. You know, he could not cut any more hair for anybody else. He gave up his, a profession of being a barber, and it is said that he actually became, because his hands became so sweet, you know, that he had cut the sweet kesha of Sri Gauranga Mahaprabhu, that his hands actually became so sweet that he actually became a sweet shop owner. And it is said that this particular barber in Katwa city, if you go even today, that the descendants of this barber, they till today, they have a sweet shop, and their sweets are the best in anywhere, you know. They make the best sweets. So if you're ever in Katwa, you should, you know, and they're known. You just ask who is the, you know, the sweet shop owner who is the descendant of the barber who cut Mahaprabhu's kesh. They'll show you that shop, and you can go and take some Mahaprasad there. It's amazing, you know. So that barber, he changed his position, changed his profession, you know, and he became a sweet maker for Lord Chaitanya. We just explained that how he, gave up that profession and became a sweet shop owner. And till today, even after 500 years, that sweetness of his hands are passed down to his entire family, you know. They are still today, they are running that sweet shop.
Very cool. Very nice.
So just give me a minute. I'm just looking up who Ishwarapuri is. I'll share that in a little bit.
Okay, ma'am.
Any more questions in the meantime?
Hare Krishna Mataji, such a beautiful, beautiful class. Amazing. I will always get attracted towards Dameshwar Marat Mahaprabhu, and, at the Iskon Silicon Valley, our Mahaprabhu's features are very, very similar to Dameshwar Mahaprabhu. So I will post those pictures. It's just amazing that I didn't know that so much in detail, because I haven't been to Dameshwar Mahaprabhu's temple. But it's beautiful. There's so many wonderful points, and so much of devotion in your explanation. So it just penetrates into, and I just didn't feel like it should stop. I could have heard the whole day. Thank you, Mataji. Thank you. Hare Krishna.
Hare Krishna. Thank you.
Hare Krishna Mataji, Koti Koti Dhanyavad Pranam to your sincere seva. Can you sing Pranama Sita Chi Sutta Gauravaram?
Hare Krishna, I definitely will. Definitely.
Hare Krishna Mataji. this deity of Vishnu Priya that she caught from the Neem tree, is it still accessible to be seen?
Yes. In the city of Navadvip, we can still see there's this deity is known as Dameshwar Mahaprabhu. And
how do you say it? How do you call it? Dameshwar?
Dameshwar.
Like the holy Dham, right?
Dhameshwar.
Okay. So he's called, that deity form is called Dhameshwar.
Yes.
Uh-huh. You know, another thing is, you said that Kesh means hair. And I was wondering if there's any connection between that and Keshava Bharati's name, you know, that prefix there, Kesh, or is it a different Kesh? I don't know.
Not really.
Yeah. Okay, yeah. I was just wondering. And so, although Keshava Bharati was an impersonalist sannyasi, the mantra that that Lord Chaitanya gave him and that he gave back was not impersonal. I guess that's obvious, right?
Yes, because Mahaprabhu first gave him the he actually initiated Keshava Bharati first with the Vaishnava Sannyas Mantra, the Gaudiya Sannyas Mantra, and then Keshava Bharati repeated it back to, you know, to Lord Chaitanya.
So he was an impersonal sannyasi that was initiated with the Vaishnava Mantra.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Just confirming. Thank you.
Thank you so much.
Mm-hmm.
Thank you so much. Thank you very much for very nice nectar katha, gaur katha.
Thank you, Mataji.
Hare Krishna.
Hare Krishna. I actually cannot find who Ishwarapuri is, unfortunately.
Okay, Mataji, no worries, Mataji.
Yeah, I tried to look in the list that I had. Madhavendrapuri is there, but Ishwarapuri is not mentioned, I wonder.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
But I'm sure that he would be, you know, like a partial portion of Sandipani Muni, for sure.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yeah. Yeah, we see that Gangadas pandit was Vasishta, if I'm not wrong.
Yes.
So I was very curious who this would be. Yeah, it should be something like a partial representation.
Yeah, I'm really surprised how come, you know, because Madhavendra Puri is mentioned, Ramachandra Puri is mentioned, Paramananda Puri is mentioned, but I don't see Ishwara Puri.
Mm.
Very surprising. But I'll definitely look into it.
Sure,
I'll let you. Thank you.
How about Madhavendra Puri? Who was he?
Madhavendra Puri is said to be one of the Kalpa Vrikshas from Krishna.
Oh. Interesting.
Yeah.
Okay.
Paramananda Puri is Uddhava.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Any more questions? Okay, if there's no more questions, I'll honor Vrinda Gopika Mataji's request, if that's okay. This is Sri Satisuta Ashtakam, written by Sri Sarvabhauma Bhattacharya.
Nava Gaurava Ram Nava Pushpat saram navabhavadharam navalasya param navahasya karam navahemavaram pranamami sachisuta gauravaram pranamami sachisuta gauravaram pranamami sachisuta gauravaram.
हरे कृष्णा माता के तनवत प्रणाम. हरि बोल. शिशि गौर कथा की जाए.
हरे कृष्ण माता जी. थैंक यू. हरे कृष्ण.
थैंक यू माता जी. हरे कृष्णा.
थैंक यू माता जी. तनवत प्रणाम. हरे कृष्णा.
थैंक यू माता जी. हरे कृष्णा.
थैंक यू. हरे कृष्णा.
Thank you, Mataji.
Thank you, Hare Krishna.
Hare Krishna, thank you.
Thank you, Mataji. Hare Krishna, Dandavat Pranam.
Dandavat Pranam, Hare Krishna, thank you.
Hare Krishna, Mataji. Very, very Nityanam class. Thank you so much. Very beautiful.
Thank you. Thank you. Hare Krishna, thank you.